Okay, if you can turn on the back screen so I can remote control instead of turn around and look at the screen up front. You know, a couple months ago, we had the workshop for the HPD cadets. And all of them have the same concern, worry, because when they get out of academy, they don't know what would happen. Especially now, a lot of things going on in the Houston community and around the world. And the function of HPD is try to keep everything to order. Preventing might happen just like you read on the news or watch TV in New York, Cincinnati, Minnesota, California. So a lot of them come into this room and prayer. So prayer is extremely important when we try to prepare the future. Okay? So that reason why I picked Matthew chapter 14, verse 13 to 21, that to refresh your memory, because the story is very, very simple, but for a while we may forget. This morning, all of you, when you come to this room, probably with different circumstances, some of you probably joyful. Some of you probably tired, because some of you probably work third shift and then have not enough sleep, and then you have to come to the church in the morning. Probably you tired. I understand that. Some of you are anxious because maybe you try to prepare for the marriage come very soon, and you are anxious, okay? And some of you carry the heavy burden, family, work, young couple with children. So a lot of pressure. So a lot of us, even we go to the church, but we carry an experience and the feeling very much like we don't have enough. We don't have enough strength, not enough money, finance, not enough patience with our children. Yesterday, my wife and I babysit, you know, our two granddaughters, Olivia and Julia, from 8 o'clock, and by 6 o'clock, I'm tired, completely exhausted. Okay, and my wife this morning, she didn't feel well, so she had to stay home. So know how stressed a parent is. And sometimes you don't have enough peace when you're thinking about the future. So every one of us in this room, regardless you're believer or not believer, most of your time you care for your family. And sometimes there's a moment you may question yourself, am I good enough? And that's what I try to tell you the story about Jesus. And you would know he is enough for our life. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you very much to be in here, to read the own story, the story about Jesus, 5 fish and 2 loaves of bread. So I pray the Holy Spirit use me to share the message from the Bible and only from the Bible. I pray the Holy Spirit with in the heart of all the people in this room so you can hear the story, you understand it, and you can apply for your own life. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Number one, Jesus has a compassion. Sometimes we forget about this. Matthew chapter 14, verse 14 say, he had compassion on them. So when he looked at the crowd, a lot of people, okay, he had a compassion. Just imagine, what if he is in this room? He looked at all of you, all the Vietnamese congregation, the same message will be shared in a few more minutes, in about an hour. He had a compassion. He understand the pain and the struggle each one of us had to go through, regardless we are believing Christ or not. The Greek word is, if I try to communicate, about splakinosoma. It's talking about the emotion deep in very depth of our being. So when you read the Bible, you say Jesus Christ had the compassion, it means it deep down in him, every part of his soul, he understand, he had compassion. The big word, sometimes translated into Vietnamese or translated into English, we may lose meaning. So very much God is moved to the very depth of his being by human suffering. And that's what he's talking about. In the Jewish, the language is very, very clear. So when they talk about compassion, they understand Jesus Christ's word. But for us, because different culture, different growing up, and sometimes we only understand the surface of the word or the meaning of the word. So what exactly he tried to communicate to us in the book of Matthew about he had compassion on the people, because he understand the human need. He understand that the work pressure you have. He understand the loneliness some of you have. He understand the illness, okay? And he understand as a parent, sometimes you have the sleepless night. He understand the struggle you go through in marriage planning. Or even last night, he understand the struggle of our sister get married last night. How many of you go to the wedding last night? Okay, a few of you. Praise the Lord. So the one absent this morning probably stayed very, very late in that wedding and this morning couldn't get up. Okay? He understand that. And one of the story you probably read or heard about this, about the story of the mother take care of the children, especially the young one. And the mother, based on my counseling, and sometimes the mother come to me and talk, nobody understand or nobody know how tired I am caring for my family. But the Bible tells us, Jesus know. Psalm 56 verse 8 said, God counts every tear. So even as a mother take care of the children, the father probably don't know. Or even the grandparent don't know. But God know. And that reason why Psalm 56 verse 8, he counts every tear. So if Jesus see our need, so the next question we would ask, is he enough to meet those needs? And the story you probably read so many times, okay? Talking about, yes, sometimes we lack of things, but Jesus does not lack of things, which sometimes we feel like missing part. The disciples said, we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. If you read the story we communicate in the Bible, or you read from the Bible, there were about 5,000 men, not including women and the children. So probably about 15,000 to 20,000 people in that crowd. Okay. And of course, from the human person, the disciple, he probably, oh, it's only five loaves of bread and two fish. How can we can feed like 20,000 people? Not enough. But the key from this passage talking about the miracle did not happen in the disciples' hand. The miracle happened in Jesus' hand. And as a person, sometimes we don't understand. Okay? We look at the problem. 15,000 to 20,000 people. That's the problem. And Jesus said, we had to feed them. And here, all we have is five loaves of bread and two fish. Look at the provision and you look at the graph. Trust me, we concerned. Or we had a doubt how the world can do this, okay? Matthew chapter 14, verse 19, okay? Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and distributed it. And when I read this, it's reminding me of Exodus chapter 16. Chapter 16, when the people of Israel left Egypt. And if you calculate, estimate the number, about a million people. Okay? And they have to travel. Think about it, a million people. And whatever they have probably lasts maybe a couple of weeks. Okay? But the miracle happened. Exodus chapter 16, verse 4. God said, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. So in the Old Testament, we see like God gave the manna from the heaven. And like in Old Testament, but in New Testament, Jesus gave the bread to feed 15 to 20,000 people. So the miracle happened. And John chapter 6, verse 35, talking about, I am the bread of life. Like what Jesus said, manna in Old Testament only fed the body, the physical, temporary. But when the lesson from the Jesus feed the soul eternally. So when we think about the manna physically and the bread spiritually, and then we would ask a question, if Jesus Christ is the bread of life, what should we do with what we have? Each one of us in this room, we have limited resource. So what can we do with that limited resource so the miracle can happen? So you get to the third point. The Bible said, based on this story, bring what little we have to Jesus. And sometimes we forgot about this. We read Exodus. The manna, the miracle happened to feed a million people, and even for 40 years. And in Matthew, five loaves of bread and two fish to feed like 15,000 to 20,000. So the resource is very, very limited. But the Bible reminded us, bring the little what we have to him, so the miracle can happen. Just imagine with me. What if? Probably my background is technical guy, so I always ask the question why and how and what if. What if the disciple look at the crowd, 15,000 to 20,000, look at what they have. Okay? Five loaves of bread, two fishes, and not exactly what they have. They probably they get it from the kids somewhere, bring his lunch or his dinner with him.
to listen to Jesus and the disciples when they go around, probably ask anybody have food, and only kids show up. And what if the disciples, no way we can feed the people, 15,000 or 20,000 people, okay? And if they had that doubt, say, "Oh, so I'm not using Jesus. Probably enough to feed me, a couple of people. Let's send the people home and go to the store somewhere. Let them take care of themselves." But the story talking about, they took that little thing, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, and give to Jesus. On that little thing with that limited resources. And that's what happened. Okay? So they gave whatever little thing they have to Jesus. And miracle happened. Why we have to remember this? Because so many people today, they say, "I don't have much strength. I'm too old. I'm too busy. I'm not educated enough. I don't go to seminary." Okay? And the Bible talking about whatever they have, God use it so the miracle can happen. And a lot of people may think, "Oh, I cannot do the great thing. Maybe little thing. It's okay. But not the great thing." If we have that thinking, we just like, what we have is so little, we cannot give to Jesus. Okay? But Jesus, remember, he does not need something big. I put in there God, but think about me, because Jesus, he also God. He 100% God, 100% man. So he does not need a large number or something big. He needs the willing heart. The willing heart from the disciple, with a little bit resources, and gave to Jesus. The disciple didn't give to Jesus enough resource of food to feed 15 or 20,000 people. Okay? Just a little thing, but from the heart. And that's so critical, sometimes we forgot about it. Okay? And then what happened? Make sure you follow the process. When you only have the little thing, when you're so tired, when you're busy at work. Number one, prayer. Simple prayer. We have to learn the lesson from Jesus. He prayed, right? Caring visit. That little thing you can do. Sometimes you have 1 or 2 minutes, pick up the phone and call the people. That the little thing. Or even the faithful life. That little thing. Spiritual, whatever you do. Or even, advise the first generation. They have to do a little faith, but consistently as spiritual example for the next generation. Okay? Do you know our church, we have about 3 children? Okay? We have first generation, your guy, first generation, I call it X or XY generation, your Y, Z generation. And now we have Alpha generation. So how can Alpha generation can be grow up to be a good Christian? They follow your example. Okay, spiritual example, the Z generation will continue in the Alpha generation. And it's just like us, the first generation, the X and XY generation, we try to set example, spiritual example for your guy, Z generation. So if you read the Bible, it's not just a simple thing. Okay, we do something or whatever. But the spiritual formation and spiritual experience, it had to be transferred from generation to generation. We had a meeting a couple weeks ago. We planned out for 20 years. Why 20 years? Because the alpha generation right now is only 2, 3, 4 years old. Okay. 20 years from now, they will be go to college, 18, 19, 20. Some of you doesn't have the kid yet. Okay. So it may hit that age. And that reason why we have to have that outlook. And what if the alpha generation 20 years from now get married and now to the next generation? So it has to have a spiritual map for the church, for the future. So what he said is we can give a little thing to Jesus because he can do more than we can imagine. So what exactly the result? Okay? The Bible is talking about. Everyone was satisfied. Matthew chapter 14, verse 20 said, they all ate and were satisfied. The word satisfied is ekotasteson. It means fully filled, completely satisfied. Okay, if you check on the dictionary, original word is describe the animal eating until they're completely full. If you check the dictionary, okay, remember in the past, most of the nation, or even national Israel, is very much agriculture, okay? So they grow cow, animal. So they use this word to explain even the animal completely full. But when it's used for the people, it means not just enough, but overflow of satisfaction. When the word translation is lose some of the meaning, it's not just enough, but overflow of satisfaction. So when you read the verse, they all ate and were satisfied. It reminded me when the miracle happened and when Jesus do anything, he not do halfway. He gave fully. One of the story I heard from the missionary in mission in China, okay, when they come back, they share the story about he visit one of the Christian, the old man, okay, and this old man in the hospital. And this old man, he lost just about everything. He lost his health. He lost his money, his wealth, and even his career. Okay? So this man in desperate situation and his health. So the pastor asked him, or the missionary asked him, what do you still have? Okay? So when you do outreach, the first Tuesday of the month, we have a mission to the nursing home. I call this, there's a whole group of generation people forget. And we also had a mission in the prison. We call it a prison ministry. And the question we always ask, what do you still have in the nursing home or in the prison? So this old man's answer, I still have Jesus. And then the next sentence he said, if I still have Jesus, I still have enough, quote from this man. So the question I would ask each one of you, do you have Jesus? Because if you have Jesus, you have enough. So you can face with any challenge in life, any trial in life. And you understand is sometimes money is not enough. You understand that fame is not enough. Success sometimes is not enough. or even your family cannot save the soul. So even family is not enough. Only Jesus enough. Why? Because he died on the cross because of our sin. He rose again to give each one of us eternal life. So the question I would ask again, do you have enough? So it's like not the question, even though the topic, do you have enough? But the question you have to pray and ask yourself, do you have Jesus? Because a lot of people question about this. So when we had a workshop for roughly about 80, the first one, like 120-something HPD cadet sit in this room, and the second group, about 89-90, they sit in this room. And I asked the same question. You worry, you graduate, you'll be work out in the world. Houston, a lot of neighborhood is not good. Do you have Jesus? If you have Jesus, he will help you to overcome on fear. And praise the Lord, like about 20 of them, walk up here and pray. But most of the people, probably they already know Jesus, so they pray right on the spot. Okay? So that the question we would ask, do you have Jesus? Today is your opportunity to do that. And if you want to pray, accept Christ, to know for sure you have Jesus, all you have to do, let us stand up, pray quietly between you and him. And you say like this, Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner. I believe you died for me. Please forgive me and save me. From today, I belong to you. Be the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. So each one of us, we may not have enough, but Jesus is enough. And when Jesus is enough, we lack nothing. So let me pray and bless you, okay? Our Father, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, I pray the message this morning will touch the heart of the people in this room, or even the people listen through YouTube. So I pray that they understand when they have Jesus, they lack of nothing. When Jesus is enough, they don't have to worry about the thing, spiritually and spiritually. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with all your children in this room from now and forever. Amen.